And joining us right now is John Lott. John is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. Very timely interview with him this morning. John, good morning. Welcome back to Mornings on the Mall.
It's good to talk to you.
Did you see the town hall last night where the kids and the parents were getting to question some of our politicians? Did you get to see that?
Yeah, I did see it. I also saw the president's meeting at the White House. They couldn't be more different. The one last night that CNN did, for some reason, they were only able to find questions on one side of the issue. It was hardly a very balanced presentation. Of course, now there's news reports from Florida indicating that CNN may have actually helped write some of the questions. And, when people wouldn't ask the types of questions CNN wanted to have them write, they wouldn't include them.
Yeah, there is a student, Colton Hobb, who has come forward who said that he and his parents, who he was at Parkland High School, he and his parents were asked to participate. And when he submitted what he wanted to discuss, he was told by, according to him, he's alleging that CNN told him no and told him what he had to ask. And so he and his parents chose not to be part of it. You said they couldn't be any different. What were the positives and the negatives for you about the president's listening session versus the positive and negatives of the town hall?
I mean, I think the president obviously had representatives from the school there that pretty much covered the whole spectrum on views and what to be done. And he took them seriously, and they talked about them. I didn't get that impression at all from the CNN town hall last night. As I say, all the questions were from one side of the spectrum there. Jake Tapper would ask people about arming teachers or staff. And the only person that would have been on the other side, Dana Lash, was the only person he didn't ask that question of. It was pretty much everybody just poo-pooed it. And I didn't really think it was given a serious discussion. They would have somebody say, what happens if SWAT teams come in and they may accidentally mistake the teacher for, or the staff person for the person who's killing others? If they had at least had a little bit of balance in terms of the panels that they had, they could have had some fact checking. Somebody could have said, look, there are dozens of mass public shootings that have been stopped by concealed carry permit holders in the United States. The type of concern that you raise has never occurred. It's not saying it's not possible, but at least if you could point to actual cases where it occurred, maybe it would be something that we should take more seriously. But to dismiss it for something that you can't even point to having had occurred just seemed to me a weak read.
Yeah, I mean, instead, what we got last night from CNN appeared to be sort of a moment of catharsis for the liberal sort of gun control left, which is they got an opportunity to basically shout shame at the NRA in the form of Dana Lash, their spokeswoman, and Senator Marco Rubio, a Republican. But one of the things I found interesting, John, and I want to ask you about the policy of this, is that Marco Rubio, in addition to the President of the United States, have had, over the course of the last 24 hours, this discussion of raising the age at which certain firearms be purchased. This notion that maybe we don't purchase firearms until you're 21, not get an AR-15 rather than 18. What do you make of the sort of the move in that conversation?
Well, I think it's very disappointing. Rubio's discussion and the discussion on CNN was basically, okay, something bad happened. Somebody who was 19 years old did something wrong, so we should ban people in that age group from having guns. There's no discussion by anybody in that part of the town hall to go and say, maybe people who are 19 or 20 benefit from being able to go and protect themselves. Maybe they're also victims of crime, and no types of trade-offs. I have data at our website, crimeresearch.org, on the behavior of young permit holders, people who are 19, 18, 19, 20, 21 years of age. And what you find is that not only are permit holders generally extremely law-abiding, as we've talked about before, even much more law-abiding than police, but the young ones are at least as law-abiding as permit holders in general. And so, you know, the disturbing thing in this discussion, we see this so many times, is that there's no discussion of kind of trade-offs. You know, it's kind of like, if you can point to something bad, then that's enough. But, you know, it's kind of like saying, I could go and say, well, if I can show you that a gun control law results in some death, then we should never have the law. That makes no more sense than what they're saying. It should be, what's the net effect of these laws? On net, do they save lives or not?
Right. And meanwhile, there's not much conversation about the value, the virtues of liberty, and the extent to which guns can actually be used to protect people rather than to slay them, like we saw last week. As an expert on this subject, I imagine that you often field questions from all sorts of people on guns. If you had the opportunity, if CNN approached you and said, hey, you should do this town hall with us, given what you saw last night, would you have done that town hall?
I would have done it. I mean, it was, I'm not sure if I was a politician, I would have done it. But you needed somebody who could fact check these guys a little bit. Mm-hmm. So for example, you had people, you know, Bill Nelson, senator from Florida, was going out and talking about background checks, stopping mass public shootings, these so-called background checks on private transfers. I just wish somebody had pointed out that not only wouldn't it have stopped the attack last week, but there's not one attack this century that it would have stopped. The assault weapons ban law that they want to pass wouldn't have stopped the attack last week, wouldn't have stopped any of these attacks this century or earlier also. As far as the fact checks go, Senator Nelson pointed to the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando a couple years ago, claiming that an intrusive background check, whatever that means exactly, would have stopped it. So that's not even in the law, but I assume he's talking about some type of psychological screening that would be set up before people could go and buy a gun. But, you know, it's easy to Monday morning quarterback on these things. This individual had already gotten a security guard clearance for having a gun. And one of the things I'll just mention, if you look over the last decade, 60% of the mass public shooters were actually seeing mental health care professionals before
they
engaged in their attacks. And not in one single case were they identified as a danger to themselves or others.
John Lott, thank you for introducing a bunch of facts to this conversation. It's important we have them. It's a tough one. I appreciate you joining us this morning on Mornings on the Mall.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.